Hello there. This is one of those episodes where we have a visual aid that might help in your enjoyment of the audio. You can access the visual aid either at our Discord server, the Calyrex Game Corner, or at the YouTube channel. The Discord server is discord.gg/Calyrex, discord.gg/Calyrex, or visit the YouTube channel. Again, it's not required, but it might help in your enjoyment. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Calyrex Game Corner's Pokemon D&D campaign, featuring Cindy, a hot-headed teen with a penchant for arson, Gimli, an admirable father seeking to reunite his family, Elodie, a fun-loving baker with a whimsical heart, and Schmidt, a courageous young man searching for his purpose with a duck. Together, they make the Quacko Paco, and this is Dunsparce and Drampa. The last time we were with the Quacko Paco, they embarked from Cindy's grandparents' berry farm to return to the Route 111 desert, following a lead delivered by Red and Gimli. They elected to fly over Mauville in a roundabout way in an attempt to not draw too much attention, considering Schmidt is currently wanted in Mauville for his break-in to the Sylph Company. While on the way, the Paco stopped by the Winstrate estate to inform Vince's family of his unfortunate demise and to return his two beloved Dragonair, Pride and Prejudice. However, Pride decided that he wished for more adventure with Schmidt and the rest of the Paco and requested to be taken along for their journey. After visiting the Winstrate home, the Paco and Gimli returned to the desert, where they had to search for the desert ruins while being interrupted by a couple hungry Hippopotas and their angry mother Hippowdon. They encountered a teen miscreant, Porter, attempting to vandalize the ruins as a form of teenage rite of passage. Thanks to Schmidt's keen understanding of ancient tradition from both his upbringing and arguably his heritage as Lorekeeper, he interpreted a puzzle along the northern interior face of the stone mound to be asking for fire. Obviously, Cindy obliged, and the whole group was sent careening down a slide of sand until they arrived in a small 10x10 sandstone chamber in the company of two skeletons. Gimli, Elodie, Schmidt, Cindy, Gimli, and Porter, what is your reaction to arriving at the end of the sand slide?
Wee!
Elodie had a good time.
Good old wee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No concern coming from Elodie. Utmost confidence. This is exactly how dungeons work. If we're all there and Elodie threw her hands up and was ready for the photo at the end of the slide, allow me to give some description to this room that you've fallen into. It seems that there's like no way back up the slide. There's like sand pouring. It's sprinkling a little bit into the room, but it seems it's falling through like a naturally made grate at the bottom of the slide. And it's like, you would assume that it's cyclical or sand is coming from somewhere. Who knows? It's a 10x10x10 cube of sandstone. Not super large. It's a little hot in here. The northern wall in front of you features unusual etchings and familiar symbols. Resting to your left is a skeleton clutching a small satchel donned in adventurer's clothing and holding a leather-bound book. To your right is a skeleton wearing what is clearly an NRG Grunt's uniform, with a small notepad and a Pokeball at their belt. There is a lit torch in the corner above the Grunt mounted to the wall, and peculiarly there are lots of small stones that resemble tokens or coins scattered all over the ground. Lastly, the same rhythmic rumbling that you heard from the perimeter and inside the temple is louder than ever before, and you can feel it reverberating through your body in this room. It's a consistent budum, budum, over and over again, and it is rumbling you. What does the Paco do?
Can I look at Dead Homie's book?
Yes, you're talking about the adventurer to your left.
Yes.
Sure. Before you do anything with it, give me an investigation.
Oh. Oh, no. Okay, I have additional things. That's a 10.
Okay, 10 is okay. Cindy makes her, you know, one of her notorious accurate readings of a situation, and she evaluates the skeleton and the clothes and the bag and the book, and she decides that this is old. This is pretty freaking old.
I think this guy's been here for a while.
Do you pick up the book? What is your avenue here?
What else does he have? A satchel?
Yes, he's clutching a bag of some sort.
I might try to see, like, what he has and see if it could provide us any information, like the book and the satchel.
Okay. You're going to have to lift up a bony appendage to remove it from the top of the bag. Give me just a dex check, please.
Plus one. That is also a 10.
Okay, that is high enough. You remove their right arm from holding the bag at their side, and you haven't like really like moved bones all connected to a skeleton before, and you struggle a little bit, like it locks somewhere in the shoulder and you have to like wiggle it up and down like vertically to try and get the bones to move away for you, but you manage to do so, and you have a small satchel or handbag. What are you peering inside?
Yeah.
You do so. It is full of dust. Dust and sand. It is just heavy with fine particulate powder.
That's not eerie spooky at all.
Mm-mm. Not eerie spooky at all.
Hmm. I've seen eerier and spookier.
I like eerier as a adjective. That's pretty good. We'll do a pseudo initiative, not really initiative, but just kind of take turns since Cindy did a thing. Does anyone else want to do a thing? Make a check. Do anything in particular?
I'm good.
Okay. Porter's a little freaked out. Porter's like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on down here? Why are there dead bodies? And Porter is frightened.
You ain't seen nothing yet, kid.
This is what happens when you vandalize a building.
Porter says, it's not people even a building. It's a cave.
Vandalism is not a victimless crime. Here are the victims.
Oh, God. Are you suggesting to Porter that the skeletons here are the results of vandalism?
No. Okay. No. At least I'm not.
Okay.
I do want to see what's in this book, if no one else wants to do anything.
Sure. Okay. I guess it's all you. You need to make another dexterity check for this, and I will announce a DC. I need a DC 13 on this. The higher you do above that, the better.
It's a 4.
Oh, very bad. You remove the book from the hands of the skeleton, and the pages of it just crumple into dust. It seems as if it's so old and it's so dry that any sort of movement would just cause the book to deteriorate. That being said, there is writing on the spine, and there is one page left in the book. Do you take a look at it?
Yes.
Okay. It is a... You can see in a writing in... what is clearly not a pen or a pencil. It must be some like ink. Like it's loose and sloppy, and there are blots on the page. There's a script that you don't fully recognize. Well, actually, you could roll a history, actually.
15.
Okay, that's pretty good. The script looks familiar. It's like it doesn't, you don't recognize the words or the language. It's not anything you've seen on like a translated document or anything, but the characters aren't that foreign. If that helps you in your investigation at all. But beyond the words that you can't translate, you see an interesting picture, an illustration drawn in this inky quill. You see a drawing of what is atop of a mountain, and there are lots of columns that are constructed in a way that seems that they build a temple. There's like a drawing of lines of maybe energy or arrows or who knows, and they point to a symbol that you're very familiar with. It's the symbol on your amulet. It is etched, it is drawn into this page that is very dry and feels like it'll crumble away at any moment. From the amulet, the drawing of lines, energy, etc., continues to a different illustration of a place. It is an island in the ocean, and above it is additionally some sort of temple with fancy-looking marble columns. You would assume they are marble or a white stone based on the illustration. That's the description of what you see.
This dungeon might be important, guys. I feel bad for the poor adventurer who's been here a long time.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I wonder what happened.
If only we had more pages in the book.
Mm.
While Cindy's doing that, does anyone do anything else? Interact with perhaps the tokens or the etchings on the wall or the energy grunt? Or try and run up the slide or try and dig a hole or do anything that you want.
I'll take a look at the etchings on the wall.
Okay. You do so. You'd roll me an investigation.
24.
That's very high. If what you are looking at is language, it is in a pictogram form. There are images that you are very familiar with because they are the same symbols and shapes that are present in Sam's journal.
Ooh.
There are... kind of scattered all over the wall, there are different arrangements of these shapes and symbols, and they have arrows pointing to other symbols, and sometimes they are blank, and they leave like kind of an indentation in the wall. I will share one if you wish to gaze upon it. So
they
pipes. Yes. Yeah, if I'm to describe this, then there are a bunch of symbols that are etched into this cave wall that resemble the same symbols that are in Sam's notebook, which look like Pokemon types. This first one that you've decided to evaluate has an illustration of one type that might resemble blades of grass, with an arrow etched in that points down to a type that resembles the earth, and then a blank hole. It's like almost it's been carved out of the rock.
I wonder if we have to put one of the like tokens there to like fill the space.
Okay.
What are the tokens be looking like?
I'll just give you a description, assuming that you all go to investigate them. They are all the same as the shape that Jim Lee picked up from Red's little gift that was claimed to be taken from Mr. President, the Cramorant, who is the president of the Devon Corporation. All the tokens in this room look basically the same. They're the same shape. They're the same size. They have different symbols on them. If you look carefully, it seems that you could pick up these tokens and slot them into the wall.
So they all have the same symbol, but there's nothing else, like, there's nothing different about any of them?
They have different symbols. They have a variety of over a dozen different symbols.
So we need to complete the wall.
So I'm guessing it's like, what two types together make grass? So it's ground and something.
Or is it what's weak to, or what's strong against?
Oh, you know, that's probably a better idea. So grass is super effective against ground.
Mm-hmm.
And
water and ground turning into grass also kind of makes sense to me.
Like
what does water, grass need to grow, you know?
I think water is a good place to start if we want to try and put the water token in there,
to try to figure out what the actual system is,
assuming it doesn't kill us if we're wrong.
Okay.
We'll be fine because this energy grunt is not doing so hot.
That is true. There are two skeletons.
Yeah, it could have instantly killed him. Yeah. We have to consider that he didn't just die because he was trapped here.
Yeah. Can we... What would that be if I wanted to check specifically if this trap would kill me?
Maybe you could go for a vibe check with insight. You could also make some sort of check regarding the skeletons and maybe gain some information from there. I'll leave it up to you. But if you want a general vibe check, I guess that's just insight.
I'll roll in insights.
Okay.
That was a 9.
Okay. You pick up on two things. One, while you don't necessarily know if there is a function of death in this room, certainly not a function of life, you're underground, it's hot, it's dry, kind of feels like there's low oxygen because you're, you know, underneath all this sand. Certainly not hospitable, that's for sure, and you hear rumbling to the north in a very deep and way that kind of shattered, you know, runs through your body. Not very comfortably. And you get the feeling that you are being watched.
Oh, good.
Goody, goody.
That's always there, though, so I don't know. That's not any different than, like, normal, you know?
You're welcome. I'm not going to, like, make you commit to try and solve any puzzles. You're welcome to make all sorts of checks prior to. What's up, Cindy?
I want to loot the energy grunt body.
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
What's this Pokemon?
Yeah, so there's a skeleton. They're in energy uniform. Contrary to the adventurer's clothing, like, this looks very modern, but their skeletons are in the same state of decay. That's something that you notice. They don't have much on their person besides their clothing. They have a Pokeball at their belt, and they are holding, like, a small notebook, not like a journal.
Is this notebook gonna fall to dust if I try to take it?
Do you want to, like, try and get a good look at it before you pick it up?
Sure.
Yeah, roll me another investigation, because we are currently perhaps...
Investigating.
We're investigating. Are we paleontologists? Are we archaeologists?
With my modifier,
mm-hmm.
That is a 22.
The pages in this notebook, despite being a bit sandy, are... This is like a modern notebook. It's like purchased at a convenience store or something, or like a school supply store. You can't get a good look at it because there's bony fingers wrapped around it, but it will not crumble if you pick it up.
Sick. I would like to take the book.
Okay. You do so. As you remove it from the bony clutches, I don't need a dex check here because it's a small book and it's not being grasped very tightly. You see a symbol inscribed on the front. It is like one of those, like, you could fit it in a dress shirt chest pocket. It's not very large. It has a black plastic cover and the NRG logo inscribed on the front in gold. Do you flip it open?
Yeah.
Okay. You are a kid, so I'll give you an advantage. But the person who this journal belonged to, while they may or may not have been an adult, they have very bad handwriting. So I do want an advantaged, I suppose, either wisdom or intelligence check.
10. That's with advantage.
Oh, man. Okay. Sure. You will be able to interpret a good amount of stuff, but maybe you won't pick out everything from this notebook. Will you just open it from the front or open it from the back?
Probably the front. Try and like skim through and read what I can of the poor handwriting.
Okay, sure. What you come across seems to be a to-do list. Again, kind of sloppy handwriting. You can make out most of the notes. The first note says, train up Ninkeda. The second note says, send secret love letter to Callisto. The third note says, figure out how to evolve Ninkeda. The fourth note you can't read. The fifth note says, get some malasadas from Alola Mart and share them with Ninkeda. Note 6 and 7, you cannot read. Note 8 says, take a nap. Note 9 says, go to desert ruins and solve super ancient secret puzzle to prove love to Callisto. The next note is 5 question marks, and the final note says, profit.
Callisto has a secret lover.
Admirer. Secret admirer, I think, is more
Yeah,
like
I don't know if it's a lover. Right. I think
Yeah, if it's mutual.
He won't get none.
Aww. When we get out of here, we should send this to Callisto. Mail it to her.
Do you continue?
Is that not it?
No, there's more. I mean, that's the first page you continue scrolling through.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
I'm invested.
Okay. You flip through the pages, and what you see is like a couple similar, smaller lists with handwriting that you can't make out, and then just like general notes, almost as if someone was like a student attending a lecture. And in the same sense that they resemble a student's notes, there are lots of doodles and drawings and just general like scribbles of shapes, but also some characteristic drawings of a woman with an eye patch and like hearts drawn around, and as well as like a fierce looking dog Pokemon with hearts drawn around. You come across a page with some notes that you can kind of read, and the sand hasn't screwed up the ink too much. It seems like that this person was attending a meeting in NRG, and there's some notes. There's like an itinerary. Do you decide to read it?
Sure.
Sure. Again, it's kind of bulleted. The first note is new uniform voting, and there's a exclamation point in parentheses. Seems that they are excited about this. The next note says, stay away from trouble-causing vigilantes, followed by a list. Red-headed teenage girl, cocky Johtoan man, innocent-looking Colossian baker woman, likely wearing apron, stocky burly miner from Sinnoh. Then it says, accurate reported sightings will award cafeteria and warehouse credits. In all caps and underlined, dangerous, do not engage unless instructed. Next note says, A.B.R.A., carefully tracking their activities, but reports are being interfered with. And then there's a question mark in parentheses. There's some more notes you can't quite read, can't quite make out, more scribbles, more drawings of Callisto. Towards the bottom, it seems like around the time that the meeting was adjourning, it says, reminder, Artemis protocol, lots of circles and underlined. There's a colon and it explains, all ghost-type Pokemon to be captured or stolen and brought to your admin lead or directly to Renegade Main Research Lab. It says, all NRG recruits with ghost types must donate them to the cause immediately following lunar demolition. There's a little note that seems like a personal comment that says, thank Arceus, Ninkeda isn't a ghost type. Then it says, be sure to submit post-assignment reports to your department admin lead. And then there's a big extra special ornamented drawing of Callisto. And then it says her name in a snaky handwriting and there's hearts all over it. And a beautiful portrait of a woman with an eye patch. That is where the notes on this page end.
Sick.
So they were using Kaz to track us? That's funny.
You can roll. You notice that A.B.R.A. is...
Yeah, it's Abra.
You know that it's Abra, but you know that it's like a thing. You can see some handwriting scribbled underneath the acronym that perhaps is this individual trying to solve it. I want Gimli specifically to roll me an investigation to see if he can make out any of those words.
Oh my god, I'm actually so dumb, though. 10.
Okay. You make up the R. You can tell that what they wrote is reconnaissance.
So, like, they each stand for something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Kaz. Kaz isn't an Abra anymore.
Yeah, but Kaz was an Abra.
But he was. He
was an Abra during the experiment, so it's possible they used him as an acronym for, like, whatever role that Kaz played for, like, a reconnaissance type of mission type of thing. Like, you maintain the name. And she'd be like, well, it's an Alakazam now, so I guess we changed the acronym for his job. Like,
we have to figure out how to break this acronym up even more.
Well, he's include still a recon, Z, but now he's a Kadabra, so we gotta adjust it. I'm like, oh my god, he evolved again! God damn it.
That'd be crazy.
Do you continue scouring the notebook?
I'm gonna pocket it.
Okay, you're just gonna slip in your pocket. Not gonna look at any more pages.
I mean, I think we kind of have what we need.
Sure, sure, sure.
From it. I'll grab the Pokeball, if I can do that. Because it's just on his belt, right?
Sure, you can go for it. Make a dex, DC 10.
Please. Fuck. Dex. That's a 5.
Okay, quite low. It's kind of snagged on the outfit in such a way that it's difficult to pull off. You can if you really yank it, but what you notice as you grab it is that it is actually opened.
Oh. Oh. So maybe that's what's watching us. It's whoever this dude's... Ninkeda?
Do you shout that out?
By now, it probably...
I do, yeah.
...became a Sheninja.
Here, kitty kitty.
That'd be crazy.
Emerging...
Yeah, it would be a ghost fight.
Emerging from the sand slide behind you comes a spectral figure that resembles the husk of a bug. It eyes all of you down with horizontal slits that seem to bear no emotion, and it is just staring at the lot of you.
This energy grunt was really good at foreshadowing.
Yeah, I don't got a ghost type. We're good.
I don't got a ghost type.
I don't got no
Wait
ghost
a minute.
Type.
Can I hear Kitty Kitty, the Sheninja?
Sheninja, yeah. You can do either Pokemon handling or persuasion.
Hell yeah. Pokemon handling.
Can I, even though we're not in combat, can I hold an action?
Sure. What is it?
So just if this thing looks vaguely any sort of threatening to any of my people, I just air cutter it on the spot.
Okay, with Quacko.
Yeah.
Does Porter and Gimli include your people?
Yeah, Gimli does, for sure.
Not Porter. We don't care about him.
Well, I'd have to think about it for a second.
Okay.
There would be some hesitation.
I got a dirty 22 for my Pokemon handling check.
Okay, sure. You hear Kitty Kitty, this Sheninja. They ominously float towards you with no expression in their soulless face whatsoever. They make no sound as they hover, and they hover right in front of your face. And you would seem like if they had pupils, they would be locking eyes with yours.
Can we go in for some chin scratches? I don't know what a...
Yeah. Do you reach out to go and scratch it?
Yeah.
Okay. Cindy, make a con save.
Oh, shit.
Now we're gonna kill it.
Oh, fuck. That's a nat one.
It's a nat one.
Which with my con... Oh, my con's not minus one anymore. I was about to say that would have been a zero.
Oh, God.
It's Cindy. It's just a one. It's just a one.
That's a minimum roll, though, is it not?
Cindy, it's a nat one.
Cindy goes to chin scratch the spooky bug, and her hand phases through its body. As it does so, she feels an intense... chilling pain, and she recoils her hand back, and it has been turned a ghost white. It is drained completely of energy and blood, and she is going to have limited use of her right hand for some time, as it has been necrotified. For what it is worth, there's no reaction from Sheninja at all. It is still looking at Cindy, and it has not moved, has not done any sort of thing. It is simply Cindy has engaged with it in a way that proved damaging to Cindy. Also, you take 8 points of, I want to say necrotic, but it's ghost damage.
I forgot. I am not in good shape. Okay, we have 28 HP, guys.
Okay.
Do you? I'm okay for now.
Heal. Okay. You'll be fine. Trust.
Does this proc the air cutter? Is my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seeing Cindy heard.
But
Quacko's
it wasn't
gonna...
intentional.
It's gotta go.
Okay. You gotta roll to hit.
Jesus Christ, Quacko. Does a dirty 28 hit?
Yeah, Quacko,
Jesus.
It does. The Shedinja, while not even looking at Quacko, experiences an air cutter from Quacko's mighty sword as it slices through the air, and hot, dry air is hurtled towards Shedinja. The moment it impacts, the husk just falls to the ground, just rapidly, as if it had no HP to speak of. And while the expression hasn't changed, there's you get a cold air in the room and almost the sound of like a sigh as Shedinja has been knocked out and is on the ground.
We should return him to his Pokeball and take him out of here or something.
Will Cindy be doing this?
I guess if I can get the Pokeball off of homie over here, sure.
Okay. You can do so without rolling again. You're just going to tear some of the belt loop on the clothing.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, you can get the Pokeball. It's a little sandy, it's a little dusty, but it's a modern Pokeball. It's nothing, you know, super old or ancient. And do you attempt to recall Shedinja?
Yes.
Okay. You do so. Congratulations.
I don't think it affects anything, but I just realized I rolled an 18 on the die.
Oh, so it's a crit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think outcome's still the same, but...
It is. And let it be known, none of you are Shedinja trainers, but the rule where, you know, if you lose over double your HP from one attack, you die, does not apply to Shedinja for multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm. that's understandable. Three, and it's like, oh, he's ultra dead.
Oh, yeah. He's dead for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so Cindy is now in possession of yet another NRG Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, question mark?
We'll just mail it to Callisto with the notebook with the love letters.
We are gonna contribute a ghost type Pokemon to their cause.
I guess
that sounds
not.
Like a terrible idea. Yeah,
let's maybe not.
I'd rather.
I was gonna say we don't know about the whole ghost type thing, but we just figured out from the notebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't know about it.
This is coming as such a shock and surprise.
So surprise.
For the record, ever since Shedinja appeared, Porter is like petrified in the back right corner, sitting and shivering and not moving.
Is he good now that Shedinja's in the ball, or is he still like that?
Nah, he's still.
And he has a dead hand.
Yeah, Cindy does have a dead hand. That is true. I should have made it more challenging for you to return Shedinja, but we could just say you used your non-dominant hand.
This is gonna be. Can I like rub my hand on my like shirt to like warm it up?
Sure. Yeah. No effect. In fact, it feels numb. It feels like when you lose your circulation and you can't feel anything. That you can't move your fingers. It is just kind of a stiff white log.
Oh no! Is it like recoverable or like we were losing
this permanent?
Listen. It's not all bad if you lose your arm.
Yeah, I was like, we're just going to get another robot arm, guys.
Can mine just be a flamethrower hand?
Oh my god, no, please.
No, you just get a hook hand.
I think that's like a requirement of the Paco now. Everybody has to lose an arm. Yeah.
Or just a limb, different robo limb.
Joke's on you, yeah, I'm getting a robot leg.
Oh, shit.
All right. Someone can make either an Arcana or Medicine check to evaluate the status of Cindy Sand if she's going to be okay.
Yo, Medicine Woman.
Yeah, I can do that for you.
It's tingly. I don't like it.
It's
not tingly. You feel nothing.
We said it feels like when it falls asleep.
No, it's not pins and needles if you feel nothing.
17?
17.
It's a medicine.
Elodie, you have a memory of when you were a young girl and your older brother, Victor's his name, correct?
Yes.
Victor was playing around with Pokemon, you know, a young, aspiring, successful trainer. And out in the Kalos woods, he got cut by a Honedge. And you remember a very comparable injury While your brother had a slice, he also experienced a lack of feeling and cold and numbness from the part of his arm where he got slashed. That lasted about 3 days.
Okay. We're going to have to amputate it, Cindy.
No. Just trying to make friends with the Shininja.
All right, Quacko, you know what to do.
Yeah, you got to chop it off right now. As soon as possible.
Oh, my hand.
Nah, I'm just messing with you, Cindy. You're going to be fine in 3 days.
Okay.
Very good.
Until then, enjoy your one-arm life. Man, 3 days? That's going to be like 3 months of actual playtime.
Yeah.
You're going to have just a dumb arm. We've got to write that down to make sure we know that she has one arm functional. Well, we still got to solve this coin thing, huh, gang?
Oh, right.
Yeah, the Shedinja thing. Probably. Now we're not being watched, so. Are we?
Are we being investigation? Watched?
Investigation? Just a perception, actually, because you aren't sure what you're looking for.
My perception was bad. 13.
13. Okay. No, you don't get the vibe that you're being watched. You do get the vibe that the rhythmic pounding that to the north is consistent and loud, but...
Mm.
No, not being watched.
Okay. All right, let's try to solve this coin thing then, gang.
If you would like, you may also gaze upon a different portion of the facade, and perhaps it would give you more insight.
Yeah, could you just list them all off?
Sure. Yeah, so for clarity, the one that we have been looking at shows what is presumably a grass icon with an arrow that points down to a blank icon and a ground icon. This next portion of the facade features three different symbols, which the party can determine, that all have an arrow pointing toward the shared single empty slot.
Mm-hmm. Are these weaknesses? Like, no, this attacks this?
So the arrows are pointed into the box?
Correct.
So they would be things that this thing is strong against, which this is all weak to flying.
Weak to? Because the plant one, it's flying is pointing.
No, not the plant one. Talking about the second one that he just described. It's a rock, electric, and ice, which all are strong against flying types.
Oh, strong against, yes, because the arrows are pointing too. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's this attacking this, and they would all beat this, flying. Is there a flying
right
type? All right. What are you doing, Gimli?
Looking for coins. Looking for anything that looks like a wing symbol or...
Sure. Yeah. All around the ground and kind of piled up next to the skeletons and just at your feet, there are so many of these. You can easily find whichever symbol on them that you wish. So you're going to pick up the one that looks like a wing and slot it in.
Yep.
Okay. You do that. As you do it, there is kind of a deep rumbling behind where you enter the token for about 4 seconds, and then it stops.
Okay.
But we didn't die.
We didn't die. The rumbling's good. Something moved to open a doorway or something.
So the grass one, we should put the water?
Seems likely, because I think those are the only two types that grass is super effective against, yeah. Oh, it's that rock. Water.
The rock's already on the board, though.
Yeah, rock's already in. So
true, yeah.
Simple, so it would be water.
So the water. Can I put the water drop in the hole?
Yeah, so with the grass that points to blank and ground, you will insert water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You pick one up off the ground, and you do that. Again, there was a deep rumbling for about 4 or 5 seconds, and then it stops.
Mm. Cool. Are there any more?
Is there like another apparatus?
Yes, there are several more. I am compiling them, but you can get started. I will describe this one. So peculiarly, just like the flying puzzle, are the one that you solved with the answer was flying. There are three different runes or tokens that point towards presumably a dragon and fire. One is rock, one is ground, and one is blank.
So it's still dragon? For this week.
Is dragon strong against fire?
What the fuck does rock into dragon mean?
It's into the combination of dragon fire.
Right, so rock would be super effective against a dragon fire type.
A dragon fire type, yeah.
As the would ground.
Dragon fire types are weak against is dragon.
Yeah, because the fire would make it resist ice fairy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Are you locking in dragon?
Well, if you say it like that, you make us hesitate.
No, I'm, the just thing trying, is, to, I'm like, trying to go through everything to make sure.
But, the yeah. repeat ones, but like rock is on there twice, so mm-hmm. that's the, my only thing of like.
There
it's
are
probably
many
fine.
Many tokens at your feet with repeating symbols, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay. Then yeah, then I think probably I'm good with dragon.
Yeah, we don't have like a word bank here, so.
Okay, so assuming that this puzzle represents rock and ground being super effective into dragon and fire, you are electing that dragon is also super effective into dragon and fire, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You enter the token and you get the same response. Deep rumbling for a few seconds and then nothing. You have three more puzzles in front of you. So this one is unusual in a couple of ways. One, there are two blank spots. There's one in the center where there's kind of a combination of types, and then there's one on the outside that would suggest it's like, you know, super effective puzzle. What you see in front of you is fighting, water, grass, and ice, and blank are super effective into bug, ground, rock, and blank, all unified together. You have two slots
to
fill.
Yeah, have to find that makes it true. So all four types in combination have to, in total, be still super effective against all five of these types, whatever we pick.
The other way around. Arrows are pointing in. The arrows are pointing in. Super effective against.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So basically, like right now, for fighting, for example, bug makes the rock ground neutral now to yeah. fighting.
So then we need to have some of the fighting weakness.
There's normal and steel, right? And
yeah,
dark.
Water still works with this combination, so we don't have to worry about water. Mm-hmm. Because of the quad weakness to rock, and then yeah, so we're good there.
Ice would need one too, right? Because mm-hmm. the ground and rock would cancel out.
Yeah, so it's got to be weak to ice and fighting, the type we introduce.
So
the grass is already fine because of the rock ground combination, so it's still weak to it. So we have to make sure it doesn't interrupt that, so it can't be resistant to grass either, or it would mess it up.
Is it fairy? Are fairies weak to, or is that dragon?
I am
so bad.
No, dragon would mess it up because dragon resists grass, so then it would be neutral again.
Gotcha.
One of the things that you all have said is incorrect. One of the things you've stated as fact is not correct.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, because ice isn't super effective right now. Rock resists it.
I think I did say that, unless I didn't.
I'm pulling up the type chart. I need to.
You guys are welcome to metagame because these are supposed
to
be hard.
We didn't memorize the type chart. No.
How often do you
right now fighting is neutral.
Okay. Yeah, ice is neutral into bug.
Yeah. Is it right. Is rock resistant for ice though?
Oh, maybe that's wrong.
Oh yeah, rock is neutral.
Rock is neutral, so it's already super effective. So we've just got to make sure that neither grass nor ice are neutralized by the type we introduce, and fighting is right now neutral, so we need it to be super effective into that.
It's not steel, then.
Mm-mm.
So it could be normal or dark? I almost said dork.
Dork. Normal or dork.
Normal or dork?
Dork.
I think we're not allowed
to have any repeating types. Because the issue is, if it's normal, what are we going to put in the outside one? Because normal is only weak to fighting. Well, I guess it just has to be super effective into the core.
Into the core.
Not necessarily normal itself, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But what would be? Like, is there any that would? Or could it be, like, if it's, like, dark, could the outside one be fairy?
Yeah, you could do that. That would technically work correctly.
Would dark work with everything else?
So if you introduce dark, you get super effective to fighting. Everything else stays the same.
Yeah, everything else should be neutral. And then fairy would be super effective.
Hold on.
Does bug resist fairy?
No.
No.
Okay. Are we sure? Oh, yes. Does fairy resist bug? One of them.
Yes, for some reason.
That's so weird. Okay. That would be my answer, because I don't want to think too much about it being normal, and then what would...
Mm-hmm.
Then I have to think about things.
Yeah, so we can plug in dark. Yeah, da-da-da-da. That's super effective for fairy. I'm just trying to make sure that all that solves it completely. Are there any surprises that bug brings me? Yeah, I think dark fairy works. I'm not seeing anything that stands out.
But didn't you just say bug resists fairy?
No, it's the opposite.
Oh, fairy resists bug. Yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, so if you add dark, then fairy immediately becomes super effective, and fairy's not resisted by any of the other types that are listed there, so.
Okay.
Do you have a lock?
Dark in the in and fairy in the out.
Yeah.
So okay. We're doing?
So your solution would be that fighting, ice, grass, water, and fairy would all be super effective into a bug, ground, rock, and dark type. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Paco inserts the corresponding tokens, dark and fairy. There is a period of deep rumbling, and then seemingly nothing happens. The pounding throughout the chambers continues, seemingly very close. And you also notice that behind you, the sand is rushing very rapidly. It is all funneling down into a naturally made grate in the ground. Before you, there are but two more puzzles. This one actually might be easier than the previous one. I didn't intend that. This one shows that flying, fire, steel, bug, poison, and rock are super effective into bug, ice, and blank as a shared type.
Is it grass?
I think so. Because because flying is otherwise neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So is fire.
Yeah, grass does work here. I think fairy also.
What about the poison into it, fire though? Oh, yeah, never mind. I'm being a gooberhead.
I was supposed to say fire is not neutral. Fire is strong against bugs.
Yeah, either grass or fairy both work here.
No, the fairy wouldn't because of the bug.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it has to be grass.
Yeah, it has to be grass, yeah. All right, grass it is.
That is your lock, that flying, fire, steel, bug, poison, and rock would be super effective into a trio bug, ice, and grass type.
Or alternatively, stellar type.
Yeah, is there a stellar type token?
Well, no, then the stellar wouldn't work for poison, so...
There is not a stellar token. To your knowledge, you see 18 distinct tokens.
Lame.
Stellar is just what the type is.
You should really place Pokemon Scarlet.
Okay. Yeah.
The DLC, just actually.
Yeah, that's fine. Great.
It's fine. Stellar doesn't actually work, so it's okay.
It's not even like it doesn't have defensive properties. It just takes whatever the type it already was. Right. But that's fine.
So then the poison wouldn't work. Yeah. So it doesn't work anyway.
You could have a stellar token. It doesn't fucking do anything.
It fucking loses.
Yeah. No. Yes, you insert the grass token and there was a rumble for about 4 or 5 seconds. Then nothing happens and the sand behind you from the tunnel is shooting out. Thank goodness that grate is there, because if it weren't, this room would be very quickly filling with sand. There's one more puzzle in front of you. It describes a blank token with an arrow pointing down to a combination of every type.
Oh, stellar. Fuck, it is stellar.
There is a stellar token, guys!
Every type.
Jesus this Christ.
Every type.
Might need a pen and
fairy,
paper.
Final answer.
You locking in fairy?
No, I'm joking.
Is there one that looks like Arceus?
All of the tokens are the same 18 symbols. They're actually the same symbols that are on this very puzzle. There's one blank insert that appears to be super effective into a combination of all of the types.
Everything. Yeah, remember, they're all together, so don't look at them individually.
Well, it wouldn't be stellar, because stellar is only super effective into...
Other stellar. Yeah, it's not stellar. Stellar's not real, Squid.
No, stellar is super effective into Terra.
Yeah. It wouldn't be... So. There's no stellar token. It's fine. This isn't a real answer. You're like, no, it just wouldn't be stellar.
But what's super effective into everything?
Yeah, this puzzle asks the hypothetical...
Again, it's everything at the same time, correct. Critically, not individually. So you guys stop thinking about, like, oh, what beats fairy? And then also, it's all together, have these overlapping... weaknesses and
you gotta let me get out my Excel spreadsheet, okay guys?
Okay. Is there a token that has a billion lions?
All of the tokens
they're all lead to a billion lions. Yeah,
they're actually a billion tokens, and you all suffocate because
oh my god. Yeah, one side has the type, the other side has a lion head for the head side of the coin.
Not even a pyroar, but a lion.
It's a lion. Yeah.
So, off the bat, we can eliminate ghost, ground,
yeah, because they have immunities.
Steel and poison.
Mm-hmm.
Dark and psychic. Fairy and dragon.
Because steel has too many things to resist it.
Poison.
Something immune to steel.
Sorry, poison.
Yeah, you can eliminate poison. Yeah. And ground.
And ground.
Ground can't hit flying, yeah.
And electric, because electric can't hit ground.
And hit ground, right. So all five, yeah, all five of those types are out.
And, yeah, okay.
And dragon.
Yeah, dragons and, yep. Okay, so that eliminates 6 out of the 18. That's good.
Can we stack the other 6 in a pile and shove them all in, right, because there's 18?
Yes. Yes, is my math right? Is 18 or 16?
Wait, why would we want to shove those? Those are not options, Melissa.
No, the other ones. There's 12 that's not left. How math works.
Yeah, there's 12 left, yeah.
Oh, hold on. I'm confused.
Okay, yeah. So we grab the 12. Make just, a big stack.
No.
Just for funsies, I would love it if Elodie rolled a history.
I love rolling history.
Looking for DC 11.
Oh. Well, I didn't get it.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, no, I did not.
Okay. Oh, there's a so much easier way. Hold on. Let me see. That's even. If you look at a type chart and you just go through the attackers, and if they match each other one-to-one, then it doesn't work, or if it goes less. So it has to be have more super effective hits than not very effective hits. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to do. I just wanted to eliminate the wrong ones first.
Right.
Elodie gleans that she feels like that there's something to the way that these types are listed, like the way that they are organized. Not that it is a clue, but that it is familiar somehow.
Oh, my it's God. Just like it's just the like thing in Sam's notebook.
Yeah.
I noticed that when I saw the fairy in the...
Is that a hint? How does that help us?
No, it's just interesting that it all ties together in the same way in this chamber.
I think the only type that has more super effectives than it does weaknesses individually is rock.
I believe flying does as well, right? No, they have 3-3. 2-2. I think it actually might be rock. Yeah.
Rock is most effective attacking type. Confirmed.
Yeah, rock has 4 super effective hits and 3 resistances.
Mm-hmm.
So it would hit for super effective against an all type Pokemon. It's the only one that I see as well in the type.
So basically, Gimli is the strongest member of the Quack.
I am the strongest! No, but that's definitely the answer. It's rock.
Put a rock in it.
Who will be
an actual rock? No coin.
Can we just rock put an actual rock? Wait, guys! This whole time we've been collecting rocks because they're so powerful. The Atlas Stone.
Yeah, all our fucking magic so rocks. Powerful. Yeah.
God, rocks are so great. I knew I picked the right character for this.
Retweet Gimli.
Yeah, rocks are just so great.
Okay, who's doing the duty?
I think Gimli should get
to. I'll put a rock token in because Gimli's always right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gimli goes to complete the puzzle that suggests that there is one type, only one, that would be super effective against a Pokemon that had every type. Gimli picks up the rock token and inserts it into the slot. There was a pause, and the sand behind the party stops. It stops falling. There is a deep rumble, and then this facade where all of the puzzles are listed slides to the left inside of the rock wall. And before you are greeted with intense darkness. You can tell that there is a vast expanse in front of you, and you cannot see much besides large boulders strewn about. And the rapid thumping, rhythmic thumping that you've heard all day outside of these ruins is crystal clear. It sounds like massive boulders being slung against one another. It is to the northwest of you, the sound. Otherwise, it is quite dark. How does the party proceed?
I send out Cookie.
Okay.
Because Cookie emits light in... I thought it said somewhere how much around the light, but it does not. But there is light that comes off Cookie.
We will say that you should be able to control it up to 20 feet.
Okay.
So how much do you want, I suppose?
At least 10, but okay. Not at the risk of, like, igniting things, because along with the light comes heat.
Sure. Okay. Cookie can emit a warm glow up to 10 feet. Do you move forward with Cookie now illuminating a little bit?
Do we see anything 10 feet into the cave?
You see right where the wall slid away to your sides as you're kind of navigating a small hallway now that's 10 feet wide from the chamber that you came from. As you're entering this massive expanse, you see the quality of the rock is totally different. Gimli would know from that one time he went to the museum that was off recording that the age of the stone in this part of the chamber is far older. Additionally, there seems to be much clearer, but also still covered in dust, ancient language inscriptions that cannot be interpreted, but line the walls at least 10 feet around you. And you can see just barely into this very dark, very large chamber, stacks of rocks to your left and right, but directly in front of you, darkness.
It's rocks, guys. The answer was rocks.
I love rocks.
How's homeboy doing?
Porter?
Yes.
He's still shivering in the corner. He's not coming in.
I bet you he's gonna write a sick album after all this.
Well, I mean, this is like the only way out, right? So he should probably come with us.
Do you beckon him?
I will beckon him.
Okay, how do you do so?
I'll be like,
come, Porter.
Come, Porter. It's not safe, dear. No, I don't say that. I'll just be like, hey, doesn't seem like there's a way out in here, so we're gonna have to keep going if you wanna, you know, get out.
If you wanna know, you know, survive.
If you wanna, you know, not die.
Yeah, if you wanna be not like that bones over there, like, maybe you should come along.
Yeah, roll a persuasion.
24.
Okay. Elodie, so charismatic, so persuasive. Porter slowly stands to his feet and kind of shakes his head and slaps his cheeks. He's like, I got this. This is an adventure. This is what I came here for, to prove myself. And he lumbers slowly towards the party, still scared, but with a renewed sense of purpose. I would like to ask, who's all the Pokemon we got? We got Cookie, we got Quacko. Is Cabbage around?
Normally she would, but I'm trying to be careful with her lately. I know we're, like, in a ruins, and there's not a high likelihood that we're going to run into anyone from Team Energy, but I'll probably still be careful.
I mean, you already did.
Yeah, we technically did run into someone from Energy.
Imagine there's a live Energy person underneath the thing after there was a dead one. That would be wild.
That would be wild. But, you know, we got to be careful, so... Probably, still have Blueberry out.
Oh, Blueberry?
Yeah.
Very good. Hanging out on the head, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay. Gimli, do you have any partners out and about?
I do not.
Okay. We don't do this often, but I feel like it'd be fun. I would love a group stealth checks. Please roll dex plus your stealth mod if you have it. Just let me know what you get.
All right.
5.
Yeah. That's, yeah. All right.
30, 21.
11.
Cindy.
5.
Thank you, Rogue, for being sneaky. Very funny. You all, as you like step in slowly, you don't see anything in particular besides what I've already described, but you do immediately notice the rhythmic pounding stops and you hear a deep crash, like a boulder falling into the ground, and then another one, and then you hear the sound of what sounds like boulders rubbing together with a lot of pressure, just like a grind, like... It is off to your left. It is to the northwest, it seems. It is deep in the part of this chamber that is shrouded in darkness. Do you progress forwards?
Should I hear kitty, kitty, whatever it is?
I don't think that's a good idea.
That's a terrible idea. What if it's friendly? You have one arm.
Then I can use my one arm to summon it.
You have a single arm.
I don't think you can stop it, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a big
like,
rock.
You're gonna use the one arm on the hear kitty kitty motion, have nothing, you can't catch it with the second arm, you're done.
I'm saying I don't think we can stop the hear kitty kitty. I think it's faded.
An immovable object versus unstoppable force.
Yeah.
I also have a big fire lava dragon.
I think it's unstoppable that we're going to get it here, kitty kitty.
There is the option where you can do nothing if you simply wish to wait, but you can also take an action.
But I did so good with the Sheninja. It came.
That is the opposite of the truth.
No, my Pokemon handling was really good. My con save, not good.
That's still net negative for the situation, you know what I mean?
I made a new friend.
And he died. And he took the way that you took your hand.
Here, kitty kitty. Oh my god.
I fucking knew it.
Give me a con. Just a good old con check.
Six.
How much HP does Sunday have?
28, baby.
Oh, no. Okay. Cindy, maybe she spent so much time in cramped quarters with like low oxygen. Now that she's in this massive chamber, so tall and wide that she can't see the end of it, she lets out a here kitty kitty, but it is kind of weak. It is kind of whimpered. And especially with the sound of the thumping just recently ending, it comes out more of like a squeak. The group of folks around Cindy can hardly even interpret her. Moments after this, you hear a slow pounding sound of large rocks smashing into the ground. One boom, followed by another boom to your left. It appears as if the sound is coming nearer.
We're making friends, guys.
I'm scared.
Is there any course of action for the party before the sounds become even closer? It is an option to simply stand in place.
Can I have, as long as it is safe to do so, can I have Cookie illuminate more area?
Well, I mean, I can't.
It'll just make it a little hotter.
I can't get, oh, you mean safety as if, like, make it super hot for people, right? That's what you mean?
Yeah, or, yeah. Like, light anything on fire.
Sure.
Like, I don't want to do that.
If you want to illuminate beyond 20 feet, I will ask for you to consume a PowerPoint. You will do so successfully. I'll give you, like, 100 feet.
But I think just 20 feet is fine, because we're at 10 right now. So 20 is just a little bit more.
Okay. Doubles it. From where you are positioned, as you have just recently entered this chamber, you can see, as Cookie illuminates further, that there are the rocks that are piled up to your left and right continue into the room. They slightly curve. It seems like maybe there's a round shape to them, but there's just stacks and stacks of rocks and boulders that have all the same kind of inscriptions that are present on the wall. There's an ancient language, maybe art, maybe something else, something you can't understand, has been inscribed on these rocks that are just kind of piled up around the perimeter of the room. You still haven't gauged how large the room is, but based on where you're standing, it is at least 40 feet wide.
And we cannot see our rocky friend.
There is no friend to be seen besides, unless you're talking about the rocks. You can't see anything to the north as Cookie's light fades into darkness. There's no particular object that you can make out. The sound coming from the west, you simply cannot see that far. You see boulders and rocks in the darkness, and then they blend off into the darkness. After that action, the pounding, lumbering sound becomes closer, not any more hurried. Another boom, boom, rattles your bones. Will the party take any other courses of action?
What if it's like one of, like, it's like an Indiana Jones trap and there's like a giant rock just like rolling towards us? That'd be awesome.
But it's not rolling, it's boom booming.
It's boom booming.
You don't have to make a selection. You can let time pass. That's fine.
I have a question.
Yes.
The DM could remind me. Whenever I obtained pride, does that count towards my count of Pokeballs, or was that just chilling?
It's like Quacko, it's like Trubbish.
Okay. I would like to send out Walter.
Okay. Very interesting. The flash of the laser of the Pokeball, and Walter the Dunsparce enters the chamber. It looks up at Schmidt and makes out a kind of sound. What do you do with Walter, Schmidt?
Walter has blindsight and tremor sense up to 80 feet.
Okay.
Can he see whatever? Fucking around.
Do you instruct him to look towards the pounding sound?
Yeah.
Walter does exactly that. Walter looks to the northwest and stares for a good while. Walter then looks around in a circle and then looks at Schmidt with a panicked expression and sticks its tail into the ground as if it wants to dig.
So hear me out, guys. I think we should dig.
I could dig it.
Is this Minecraft?
Yeah. It's Minecraft.
All right. I'm down to dig.
Okay. What is the plan for Walter's digging? Could you give me a description?
Could he, like... How fast can he dig? Can he, like, dig a hole under the whole Paco?
He has a dig speed, right?
No.
I think it's the same as his walk or climb speed.
His walk speed is 30.
Yeah. So, okay, if we want... So you're not making a... Are you making a hole? Are you making a tunnel? What are you digging?
I'm thinking, like, a hole, but, like, a hole, like, big enough for the whole Paco to just kind of sit in, you know?
Okay, and does that...
Like, to dodge whatever would be flying above us. You know what I mean?
Okay, sure. Yeah, well, I mean, we'll just suggest that it takes 6 seconds for him to dig a hole that is 30 feet deep, but if you want comfort and not to be stacked on each other, then you will have to... I need graph paper. We'd have to arrange that differently. You can take however much time to describe whatever hole you want. It might just take more time. So, do you have dimensions for a set hole?
What if it's just, like... Because 30 feet deep would be a straight drop, right?
Yeah, then that would be a 5-foot tunnel, 5-foot hole. That'd be 30 feet deep.
Who's the tallest of us? Is it Schmidt?
Probably.
What is Schmidt, like, 6 foot even?
Yeah, something like
5'9"?
Yeah.
Something like that. Where's the fucking calculator? I'm pulling out the calculator for this shit.
Yeah, it's worth it.
So, here's the plan. I want Walter to dig 6 feet down.
Okay.
And 5 Walters wide. That would be exactly 30 feet.
Okay, so it's a 5-foot depth hole, correct?
6 foot deep.
Oh, 6 foot. Okay. I mean,
5 Walters wide, because Walter can only dig up and down. You know?
Okay. So, if anything, it's kind of like a moat more than a hole, because it's very wide, correct?
Yeah.
Like a trench.
Yeah, trench. That's what I'm looking for.
Trench. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you are welcome to do that, if that is what you wish.
Yep.
You give Walter the go-ahead?
Yes.
Okay. He does not need to make a roll. He is a Dedun Sparse. He digs through caves all the time. The moment his drill tail impacts the dirt and begins to spin, the puzzle wall that you entered through slams shut just immediately. As the hole is being dug, you can see one by one, as each of the large boulders that are piled around you to your left and right, the markings on them begin to illuminate just gently, about the same amount as Cookie. As the hole is being dug, the sound of the massive footsteps become ever closer, but you do not see the figure until the hole is complete. And I'm assuming you were all jumping in the hole and hiding?
Yep.
Any disagreeers? Let's
do it.
Any naysayers?
I guess we will.
I'm yoinking any naysayers by force.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Porter, get your ass in here.
Porter will join, as will Gimli. It is time for yet another... group stealth. I will modify the DC about being in a hole that will assist you, but I will not give you advantage or anything.
Stealth.
Okay, so if I got a crit.
Yeah.
That's do you still it. Need all the numbers?
Okay. Yeah, I need everyone's. Yours is
I got a 3. Mm-hmm. 11.
Dirty 27. Everything's said and done. Oh my God. But note it was a crit, a natural 20.
I got an 18.
Okay.
That's everybody.
Oh, yeah, that is everybody. I will not disclose Porter's and Jim Lee's rolls, but they will not impact the average of what you all rolled. You all jump in the hole. It's a shallow one, but it's enough where, like, if you kind of bend over or crouch or kneel, your head is about the same level as the floor in this chamber. You wait a moment as the steps become ever closer, and each of these rocks are lighting up. Their ancient inscriptions are illuminating in, like, a eerie, dark, reddish glow. That they are, you can tell that they're arranged in a large circle in this room. The walls become illuminated, and you can see that you are in a large square chamber, probably roughly 70 by 70 feet or so. And the ceiling you cannot see the top of. All of these glowing rocks that are in a circle around you, they all begin to tremble a bit as the plodding footsteps become ever closer. Thanks to the illumination that this circle of glowy rocks has provided, you can see the source of the giant plodding footsteps. It is none other than what appears to be a homunculus, a contraption constructed almost like a robot, but made entirely of stone. It stands gargantuan, over 30 feet tall, and its body is entirely made of rocks and rubble of different various colors. As it steps near the glowing stones that surround you, a pattern similar to an H of several dots appears on its front facade. It makes some strange sounds. It goes, and it continues doing so as it scans the room. It seems currently you are not seen. However, that's where we'll end the session. Hello, and thank you so very much for listening to the latest episode of Dunsparce and Drampa. Extra special thank you to our three latest patrons. They are Cody, Shadow Fox, and Taylor. If you would like to consider becoming a patron yourself, you can start with a free trial. Check out our Linktree at linktree.com/dunsparce, linktr.ee/dunsparce, and get started there. Additionally, it seems that Spotify has recently upgraded their comment service, so they are much easier to read and respond to now. So if you haven't left a comment on Spotify before, you might as well start doing it, because we can actually read them, and we have so much fun reading what you have to say, and we might even leave a heart. Check it out. As always, we are ever so grateful for you listening to our funny little podcast, and we will see you for the next episode on September 3rd. They were doing some vandalism. Why would they do that?
Because vandalism's cool.
In-group notes, instead of writing down, like, Cindy's missing an arm, can we put, like, collective arms left of the party?
Total functional.
We only have arms
six
left.
Six total, yeah, six arms left.
That's, like, the group HP pool.
Total functional party arms, six.
Kira, remind us of this.
Hold on, the robot arm's functional.
All right, sure, but... human flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Total functional human flesh party.
Total arms. Functional flesh arms, yeah.
We're really just playing this game like for Kira, really, at the end of the day.
yeah, it is actually for Kira's entertainment.
Yeah.
She's like, you really told them to unionize, huh? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd do it again.
I know. I would do it over and over again.
Tell it to the skeleton. Gotta unionize.
Dude, you don't even have dental.
Yeah, you wouldn't have died if you were in a union.
Holy shit.
Dude, I wish we had, like, the Pokemon equivalent of, like, speak with dead. We could talk to him. That'd be awesome.
We should have unionized.
Wait.
A ghost or psychic type trainer might be able to do that.
But we have a psychic type Pokemon.
Are we trying to stay on to the ghost to unionize?
I think Key Lime can raise the dead.
Can I didn't Key mean Lime... raise the dead.
Key Lime is from the future.
Unionize, though?
Oh, yeah. I think Key Lime can unionize.
Do they have unions in the future?
Everything is a union site. In the future.
There is everything union?
We are all union.
I have the Dig a Tunnel song stuck in my head from The Lion King 1.5.
What about Diggy Diggy Hole? Mm-mm.
I am a dwarf and I'm digging a hole. Diggy, diggy, diggy hole.
Diggy hole. Diggy
but
hole.
Also, dig a tunnel, dig, dig a tunnel. Dig a tunnel, dig, dig a tunnel.